Gillette's even no stranger to podcasts, man. I've seen your other podcasts you do. I want to be on your podcast. How do I get on that podcast?
I'll put you on.
Oh, that was easy.
Does that work for all of us, Tim? Can we all be on?
So we got Tim Gillette, owner of Simple Easy Websites, here located in the Frisco area. Not only that, he's moved into our office.
Whoop, whoop.
He just thought it was so cool. He came in. He's like, man, I really like this place. So thank you for the $300.
You got a $300 bonus. Yeah,
I did.
That?
And you know what? I didn't have to submit any paperwork. It just came as a refund.
What a concept.
And we don't have to get into all that. But literally 2 weeks later, they just sent it back into my bank account.
I don't even think I've paid them that much money yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. So they said thanks. So that was really cool. But, you know, great office. It's fun seeing you down the hallway. It's great being a strategic partner of yours. You know, and there's no better way to grow businesses than to be in the same room and within close proximity.
Yeah.
You know, we had a customer yesterday come through, and he just out of the blue, you happened to be there. He happened to ask. So I just shot him a call. I said, hey, Tim, you got 5 minutes coming to the office, and you were talking to Warren mm-hmm. about creating potentially a new landing page and getting him up and running. So I appreciate you doing that as well.
Yeah, well, it's unique like that, and it's kind of like same thing. I was at a meeting, and someone said they didn't have anything on LinkedIn. Immediately, I pulled up my phone and gave them Caitlin's information.
Right.
You know, that's partnerships.
Yep. No, that's what all partnerships are. And, I mean, we don't tell everybody we're good at everything. I mean, we literally say we suck at, you know, X, Y, Z. But we know people, and not only do we know them, we work so closely with them within our network and within these walls that we can also just tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, man, you know, can you help me out with this customer? Help me out with this project, et cetera.
Yeah.
So how long have you been in business for, Tim?
This business or business in general?
Would you say that being an entrepreneur has been a career of yours?
It's been a career of mine.
That's good.
The longest I've ever worked for another company is full-time is 18 months. Mm-hmm. I've never had a full-time job last more than 18 months.
Wow. No, same. I had 25 jobs in my 20s. Yeah, I tried everything. And my parents made fun of me. But guess who paid for the prime rib last Christmas?
Yep.
Me. Yeah.
Yep.
The whole family.
Yep.
So, but no, I mean, I tried everything. I was parked valet cars. I Ubered professionally for 6 months, all day. Just did it full time.
That sounds horrible.
Is that what professionally Ubering means? I think so.
Did
it like full time?
I think professionally means if you have a camera in your car or a video game screen on the back seat or something.
You were the taxi guy with mm-hmm. the games.
Oh, the games. Mm-hmm.
What was that show called? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's
Taxi Cab Confessions. Is that a different show?
No,
okay.
No.
There's like, well, I think it's
it was a game
on.
Show.
Like
it was
a game show
where in a taxi cab that they had to do games.
They, like yeah. if you get in a cash cab. That's
cash
what it was
cab,
called.
Cash cab.
Okay, that one I haven't heard of.
That must be before my time.
No, because I think
yes, you're a kid. Yes, it was before your time.
That's funny. I would be excited to be born when you were born, Caitlin.
Oh, why?
Because I mean, I thought right now would be the future. I don't think we're there yet. I think we're very clumsy at it. I mean, the electric cars and stuff. It's very sloppy and weird. They're not flying yet. Like
I don't even think that that's my time. I think it's like, I have a brother who's 16. I think it's going to be his time, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be those kids.
But I'm scared to see. So I have an 8-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter. Like, are we not frightened of what our kids or our grandkids are going to experience in 25 years?
Oh, I'm terrified.
I'm terrified of my granddaughter flying a car around. I can tell
you
that. Yeah,
I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of the world we're in nowadays. But that's personal beliefs, and it's not. I'm not sitting there going, okay, the world's going to end. No,
right.
It's just personal beliefs, and I believe that you could change that.
Right, 100%.
Yeah.
Tim, your business model is not only in the name but in principle, very simple, easy, right? Simple, easy websites, easy to work with. You know, and being just focused on one thing, how has that either advanced or hindered your experience in your business over the last, you know, however duration of time?
So Simple Easy came, the idea of Simple Easy came through years of trial and error. All right. I tried to at first be like the rock star guy, and I'm not a rock star.
You're a rock star in my book, my friend.
I mean, you can say you look like a rock star.
He kind of looks like a rock star. Yeah.
You can say all those things. You can pull all that looking off and everything. But to me, that's like a showy thing.
Right.
I don't want to be the, you know, David Lee Roth, the, you know, who else is the flamboyant ones, like, you know, the Axl Roses. That's not me.
Right.
I really want to be the guy sitting in the corner. And it goes back to something my dad said to me as a kid. I mean, I loved cars as a kid, and my dad always said to me, Tim, a car is nothing more than a worthless piece of junk to haul your butt from one place to another. And he was so simplistic about everything, and he taught us, get the simple things right in life because they will build the luxury things. Mm. All right. And that was where I get into this, the simple, easy became along the lines of, I was not trying to do complicated things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to simplify the process. And my mind can't grasp around even your business concept. It just can't grasp that. Mm-hmm. But it can grasp A plus B equals C.
Right.
So I just keep repeating that and expand on it.
I think in our growth, or what I've experienced in the last 3.5 years, is there's so many people that think it should be more complex, right? And the fact that it is simple is, they translate it as underdeveloped or not quite mature enough, right? So then they start to question you, and they're like, well, when are you going to expand on other products? And it's like, well, why do we have to, mm-hmm. right? In the 3.5 years we've been in business here, we have tried to introduce other things like consulting through the process or adding either go high level and different types of products. But what I've come to terms is if we ever decide to do that again, it should be its own thing, yeah. completely, its own entity potentially, but definitely its own process. It shouldn't be just adding all these bolt-ons and all these different services to different people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I want to be good at doing one thing and then take my money and invest it in things that make money without me working.
Right. And not only that, what I've learned through just speaking with Tim is like, he works so well with other strategic partners, not just us, other people that are building websites.
Yeah.
Right. He has a very clear understanding of who your customer is. Mm-hmm. I think in my opinion, and you definitely let us know what that looks like, but how much business have you turned away? Right. And said, you know what, why I love you and appreciate you and would love to work with you. You're actually not a good fit for me. And no, here's why.
Ashley Cavanaugh, which is a great friend of mine from over another Master Networks chapter, her business model is totally different. And we've talked about it. When we actually talked about it, someone came to me that wanted her business model. And I was about, do I tweak my whole business? And I was doing all this to plan and tweak the business to do a customized website division and everything, and realized, oh my God, how much work that's going to be. And we put the contract through, we signed the contract, and 10 days after the contract was signed, I'm like, oh my God, this is worse than I want to ever deal with.
Right.
I'm sorry, guys. We need to end this partnership. Let me tell you to somebody who can handle this better than me.
Mm-hmm.
I realized I didn't want to do it. That's one. Just last week, there's somebody who kind of wanted an e-commerce type platform. We can do simplified e-commerce, but this really far in depth, I want to have an inventory. I got a monitor. All right. There's another guy in another chapter up in Prosper that I sent him his number and I connected them because mm-hmm. they fit. It's a better fit. I want to stick within my lanes. I've let go 3 customers this year that basically outgrew me. And I want them to outgrow me because that means your business is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'll find somebody else and help in the range I help.
Yeah, absolutely. Kendra, you are very hyper-focused on what you do, it seems, whether it's the project that you're working on or idea that you have. Do you certainly agree that just being focused on one thing is absolutely pivotal to success in any different situation?
I do, and that's something that, you know, I think that if you're not focused on one thing and you're putting in time here and here, then you're spreading your time thin, mm-hmm. and you're not putting all of the energy that needs to be into that one thing.
So in all those jobs that I had, right, in my 20s, I had a moment of doing all of the things really crappy, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like still Uber driving, I would valet park cars, and I was trying to work on my startup. And none of it was, I mean, it was all bad. Mm-hmm. To start my company years ago, like other companies I had, I would go to work all day. And then in between my lunch break, I'd sit in the parking lot and cold call. I only got 30 minutes in. So nothing quality.
Yeah.
Somebody would say, hey, you know, oh yeah, Alex, call me tomorrow at 3. I'd be like, all right, sweet. I never called them. Right. Or after work, I'd go to my office and I'd work till 11 o'clock calling Hawaii. Mm-hmm. But it was the same effect. I was like exhausted by it, right? So I was trying to juggle both things. I was very bad at it, getting no traction. And so I subscribe to a method where, or a theory where they say like the leap, the big leap that entrepreneurs take, mm-hmm. right? And it's like in any entrepreneur's journey, you have to jump mm-hmm. and essentially burn all your past bridges, mm-hmm. right? To really appreciate what you're going through in that moment. Yep. So, and I know Kendra, and you know, we don't have to go into elaboration, but just, you know, over your career and over time, I'm certain that each and one of us, Caitlin included, have had to make that pivotal decision to, do I jump, do I leap, or do I try to juggle both of these, and had a moment where it's impossible.
Well, and I've taken the jump and failed
mm-hmm.
several times. I mean, I sold a $1 million company in 2004, and in 2005, January 2006, I was living on the back of a Ford Taurus station wagon. Went through all that money, went through everything I had. thought I was king of the world because I sold a $1 million company.
Right.
And turns out I had to learn how to rebuild myself, humble myself in a way.
Yeah. I really appreciate you sharing that. I mean, with all due respect, I've that's never been my situation. But stories like that remind me that I still need to appreciate mm-hmm. to a whole nother level of the things that I still may have, right? Because I'll be completely honest with you, I've never been in a situation where I've been willing to lose like my house, you know, or be in debt $100,000 to start my company. It's mm-hmm. I've always had to do it with more hours in the day. So what I've actually lost or sacrificed is like my sleep, my time with my kids, or time with the people that are close to me, which none of them is bad. My loss isn't better than yours. Yours isn't better than mine, but either way, it's difficult to manage and go through.
And over time, when you become numb to when you become numb to, oh my God, that's where I could go.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I spent 10 years as being a motivational speaker. And I said, I've lived in the mansion and I've lived in the cardboard box. And I am not afraid to go back to either one of them ever again. When you lose that, now it's like you really find the way to serve customers.
Right.
And really, no matter what business you're in, if you're not serving customers, you're going to fail.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't care how much you want the Mercedes or the Jaguar or whatever it is that you want. If your business isn't helping people get what they want,
right,
you'll be done. You'll be living in the cardboard box.
Yep. Tim, I see you all the time in person, right? And you're at lunch and you're hanging out with people. And I never see you sell your websites. I always see you selling you 100%. And I think that's a quality thing. I really do. I think the service you provide
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in my perception yeah. is a byproduct of what an amazing business owner you are and yeah. friend and teammate, supporter of all those things. I've never once gotten feedback from somebody that says, "Oh yeah, no, Tim, I don't know anything about him. I just know he sells websites." Yeah. They know everything about you. And then also that you sell websites.
I am an open book, I guess. It's you know.
He's like Ron White. Like he's just he sits at the stool. He's got his hands open. He's pointed at you. He's got his whiskey right next to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What do you want to talk about?"
You found the tater.
Yep. You found the tater. You found the tater. Yep. You know, Caitlin, a pretty early. You're new in sales, right? Especially at this level, right? Of sharing. Stories, right? So like in your interaction, I mean, what experiences have you found even in this short period of time where it's like, man, if I'm just genuine and I share like a story and value, that always wins rather than going in and pushing websites and LinkedIn and whatever else that we offer.
Like my story or like one of our clients, like success stories?
I think they're all synonymous. I really do.
Yeah,
I really do. Because that's actually what they're buying is that experience. If you share a success story from a customer, they're wanting that experience too.
Right.
It could be through a website, through Tim, or it could be through LinkedIn. So at that point, it doesn't even matter. You could sell them a subscription to Time Magazine in the mail if they're going to have that same experience that you just shared.
Caitlin, if you were selling, truthfully, this is me seeing you as a salesperson. If you were selling women's underwear, which I don't need.
I would hope not.
Okay, but I mean, I'm not saying it to be rude, but that's just, it's an example. It's something I don't need. I would buy it from you. Why? Because when I met you, all right, the profession you were in, the people you were working with was something that could have been related to my daughter at the time. And you built a relationship with my daughter and she had no money to say, hey, this is what you may face. Let me be a friend and explain this to you. That cemented for me mm-hmm. that Caitlin, if you switch tomorrow and you're selling solar panels, I'm probably going to buy solar panels from Caitlin because of the fact that you built a relationship with me that I know that you're a real person. You're not a salesperson.
I love to tell people that I don't care, mm-hmm. but I do. Mm-hmm. I am so compassionate for other people, especially your daughter mm-hmm. and what she was going through at that mm-hmm. time. It yeah. really tugged on my heartstrings. And things that I've been through personally, you know, are things that you probably wouldn't think somebody at my age has gone through. And so it depends on who I'm talking to. Some people only care about client success stories, which mm-hmm. is fine. I have those. I can share those. I'm more than happy to do that. But some people want to know about me and they want to know about my story. And whenever I tell that and I share everything, you know, then they look at me in a whole different light and they like me more and respect me more. Right. So I guess it just depends on who I'm talking to. Yep. You know, because I'm 27 and I've had a lot of things happen to me in my life that most 27-year-olds haven't been through. So,
well,
I enjoy sharing it, you know.
At 27, how many businesses did you lose?
See, I think I was probably at my third company that it lost.
Yeah, I think I was on my fourth.
Yeah.
Me and your daughter had
something. I sold some weird stuff. I sold kids coloring books on the door to door. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it just coloring books? Because I thought it was like toys and stuff.
It was
too.
Toys and flashlights, remote control cars. But when I say door to door, like the hardcore door to door people know that actually what that means is at the gas station pump.
Literally,
you know,
in the trunk of your car.
Right.
You got
the trunk of your, like buying meat from a pickup truck.
Yes.
You know.
You are the person people talk about when they say stranger danger.
Yeah, like open my bat jacket. It's like, do you want watches or do you want cat?
What show is that?
I don't know.
Oh.
You want cheddar or cheddar? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's from though.
No, we interviewed somebody who sells charcuterie boards, mm-hmm. and also does financial planning. So her pitch is, do you want to talk about the cheddar or the cheddar?
That's good.
Yeah, that's real good.
Clever. I like that.
I got asked even again last night. So we've been experiencing rapid growth. We've hired 4 or 5 people to our team, which is essentially almost a 40% growth in personnel. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, why are you doing it? Or, you know, what's your method to it? And I try to describe it to them, and it's like they're so focused in on just the number of people. And I'm like, that's not the sauce. It's not bringing in a Caitlin and bringing in a Kendra and just adding personnel to it. It's like we're hiring for stories and diversity, mm-hmm. right? Because back to Tim's point, it's like that's what's for sale,
yeah.
is what you're experiencing. So we already recognized that, you know, just by adding Caitlin, it didn't mean more volume. It meant in a completely different market of person because of the way you connect with them and the stories that you have to share. I have never lived your life, obviously, right?
Yes.
So I can't connect with those people in a way that you can. Now, it works both ways, right?
Right.
And Kendra as well. So, like, you and I are completely different. I don't have grandkids, right?
I've never done a startup, so I wouldn't know anything about that life. I don't think I want to know.
She sees me in the hallway. Can you tell I'm going through some stuff today? Yeah, I'm going through some stuff today. And it was the story that I shared. You know, it's like, while I'm trying to do this thing and have fun and create value, you know, as a business owner, it's like we're just randomly getting bombarded with things unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you talk about that and how people different relate. I'm part of a real estate mentorship group, and the founder of it, I think I don't want to say he's a dirtbag, but he's like that. He comes across to me like the slimy guy.
Right.
Ooh.
All right. He's not really. He's like me. He's really a down to earth, wants to help people, but I didn't resonate with his personality.
Right.
The person who got me into the group was someone who I resonated with his story. He grew up in the same state I did, grew up 40 miles from me, grew up with the same things, started in real estate the same time I did. And it's like we compared the stories. Well, when I sat down with the member, the gentleman who founded that company, and he said, well, if I did the case study night, would you have signed up? And I'm like, no. I would have turned around and walked away. He said, that's why I have other personalities in, because I can't relate to everybody.
Right.
But I figured out something that helps people, so it is my job to hire people to go find them that relate,
right.
so that I can use this system to help others. That's what you did with hiring Caitlin, with hiring Ken. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. You know, too, I love that snippet that you shared. So Caitlin's never been in a true startup, right? So mm-hmm. she hasn't yet experienced like the deep lows, right? Right now it's all happy and exciting. It's like, oh, we're closing on these deals. You know, 2 years ago, I mean, we had a huge problem implementing Go High Level,
mm-hmm.
as we mentioned, right? We were very bad at it, all the way to the point where we were losing customers, but also refunding several thousands of dollars because we were just that bad at Go High Level. So then insert Jonathan Farrell. So when you see me like high five him, I'm like, dude, you are super valuable to your clients because he has decided to niche down and only focus on that and become an expert in that. So that's why I think more and more what I've been focusing on over the last quarter within Master Networks is not who can I sell? It's who can I strategize and be and work with, truly work with, mm-hmm. and be partners of.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, is helping me personally grow as an individual, as a business owner and you know, mentor and a team member and all those things. Mm-hmm. What advice, Tim, would you give, you know, just to anybody experiencing a startup for the first time, you know, and this isn't to you know, I was thinking about, I was just saying, like, it's not, it's,
Caitlin,
yeah, I
don't want, just in case, yeah, yeah.
It's not too,
just
Caitlin,
in case you get fired, you know, tomorrow, yeah.
But just
she's
in general,
sell solar because you're gonna buy it.
She's like thinking in her head of all the things she can go sell to sell me now.
Heck no, Alex isn't getting rid of me anytime soon.
You know, when it comes to startups, because I've done a lot, and I've been in the hungry phase, and I've been in the rich phase. Is the first thing I tell even my mastermind clients when I was doing that was, find the get cash now. That's the starting thing. That may not be your ending product. 5 years later, you may not be selling that product. But mm-hmm. get cash now, because if you don't have a cash influx into any business, mm-hmm. it's gone.
Right.
Right. From there, you then develop into right. how do we niche down? How do we come up with a system that works?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I put it up through seven different things that I've actually taught in my mastermind and my coaching over the years. Before I started the website company, was all about, you know, get started, get a process, get making money, become creative, and get down to investment, right? So, Caitlin, you have a $5,000 week, and if you can live on $1,000, put $4,000 into an investment that will make you money.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the hugest thing I tell people, because when you do have a bad month, you'll be glad you have the investments.
Yeah. I'm glad that you brought that up, because yeah. I'm late to that party. I have me nothing too. Saved.
Oh, yeah. I went me through either. It. Yeah. I didn't start until almost my late 40s.
Yep.
Yeah.
True savings, I have $4,000 in a checking account doing nothing. Yeah. I have no assets assets. I mean, I've got the house, which is liability. Mm-hmm. I got a car, mm-hmm. two cars, liability. I got two kids. Not liability.
Depends on the
tax,
day, right?
Tax deductions.
Tax deductions. Yeah, walking tax deduction. My tax deduction, by the way, still shits in the yard. She can't figure out how to potty train. So we're still working on that. But you know, so we as a business, we were sitting on a ton of cash, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I looked at my business partner. I'm like, okay, we have two options here. We can be really greedy and spend it and live all these great life, you know, this lavish lifestyle up to here, or we can reinvest that back into the company.
Mm-hmm.
So I, in my humble opinion, you guys might know better than me, I think I missed the boat on investments. I think it's too late for me. I don't know.
I don't think you missed the boat.
No.
I don't have investments, and it's something that Henry and I are going to be doing. The bad thing is it's not taught anymore.
No.
Like right. I was not taught in high school or anything. I mean, even my parents, that just wasn't taught to me. And I think that that's a huge boat that we miss with the younger generation, is because nobody's right. taught how important it is and how easy it can be
yeah.
to let something grow, you know, throw in money right. in a Roth IRA when you turn 21 and throw in a little bit every month. And
yeah. Yeah. And something I've done with investments over the past couple of years is my wife's paycheck. She puts $200 a month into a stock account for mm-hmm. me. I never let the cash sit there. I have a list of 7 to 8 stocks I'm always looking at that will pay me dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I think I have like $11,000 in there right now. The dividends are like $1,500 a year. Most people will be like, oh, that's not enough. Yeah, but that's where I put money to
right.
make sure it's growing. It's not, and that $1,500 a year comes in if I stop. It just keeps coming in. Well, I also have another stock account that has $80,000 into it. That pays $10,000 a year. At any point in time, a real estate deal comes along and I need $25,000. I'm pulling it from those places. But until I
right.
have that amount of money, say a real estate deal could be anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 out of my pocket.
Right.
If I've not saved little places, $25,000 to $50,000, can anyone in this room come up with $50,000 out of their
right.
anywhere right now? You can't.
Right.
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have that readily available. And that's what we miss. We all think, I can't do anything in investment until I have $20,000. No, you can do it when you have $1,000. Granted, it's not going to make you big returns, but
yeah.
it is going to make you a return.
Mm-hmm. And another way to grow wealth is by saving. So I just did a calculation that I had heard, I just couldn't remember what the numbers were. But if you can't make $27 a day, which is $10,000 a year, mm-hmm. you can definitely save that, right? We spend $100 a day at lunch as a team, right? If we did that every day for 30 days, that's $3,000, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, and we're not saying we're not going to do that anymore. but it's really cool just in the moment, just saying, you know what? You know, I'll do the special today, because if over the course of the day, I can save $27 and I can do that every day, I can have $10,000. Yeah. Saved.
Well, and I don't know how many of y'all have noticed that Henry and I have been sharing lunches, because first off, we don't eat all that food. The amount of food that we get,
Karen and I share every single time,
is ridiculous.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so we're each going to get a, you know, a $20 burger. So we're spending $40 for a burger that neither one of us need the whole thing.
Right.
So it's, well, like,
it's last night, coming back from the party last night, you and I stopped and went through Whataburger.
Yeah.
Half that food I took home to my daughter.
Wait.
And like a Whataburger.
We went
through Whataburger drive through after we left because we were both starving.
I left the party way before y'all, so.
Yeah, you got a burger and took half home, and I got the mini burger, like, yeah, or the junior or whatever they call it. Not the mini, the junior. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just, there are things that you can, right, do. Like what you're saying, it doesn't have to be huge.
Right.
Unless it's a shameless plug here, unless it's a Philly cheesesteak sandwich from Awesome Times, that, yep, thing is like a foot long, and I will eat the, yes, really
good,
whole thing.
It's really good.
Philly cheesesteaks.
Oh my gosh, yep, it's so good.
A Philly boy, I miss my cheesesteaks. Yeah.
I had one the quesadillas of my, the other day.
The quesadillas are good.
Yeah,
good. Have you tried the breakfast sandwich on Sundays?
I'm not there on Sundays.
Get the Philly cheesesteak next time.
Yep.
I'm serious. It's so freaking good.
Yep. One of my saving non-negotiables is I don't have pizza delivered. I pick it up every single time.
Why?
I don't pay the delivery fees.
Oh, see, I live.
That's $5, $6.
I live 12 miles out of town.
You do that 3 times
town.
A week, it's $15.
Yeah.
I live 12 miles out of town, and my husband is like, let's just Uber Eats something. I'm like, nope, are you kidding me?
Eats.
That's like a $9 delivery.
I have a zero tolerance on Uber Eats. No. Nope. Just go get it. Don't
I don't
lazy.
Do it either.
Go
you know, it. Well, the last night, drive through. That's the first time I've been through a drive through in 6 years.
Oh, really?
I don't do drive throughs. I walk in.
Oh.
And yep, most people, like, you know, we look at little things, and we talk about this little investment. Is if I walk into the restaurant, there's a chance I'm going to meet 3 to 4 people that can,
right?
Maybe I'll meet one person, you know? And we talk about investments too. We talk about putting money in our bank account. Last night, you guys sponsored an event. That's an investment. Mm-hmm. I remember this year at Christmas for our Master Networks chapter that I was part of in Prosper, I paid for the rental of the Christmas,
mm-hmm,
party hall. Why? It's an investment for my business. Mm-hmm. I want to build relationships for my business next year. It doesn't always come down to, hey, I got to put $20 in an account. But
right,
what you did is that's an investment that grows your company.
Right.
So.
Yep, it's an investment. I also like to invest in casinos. It's my favorite investment.
The slot machine? The slot machine, yeah, or the poker machine?
I have like 10 favorite slot machines.
That's so, why you don't have an, that's where your investment,
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I'm going tonight.
I will tell you a story about, casinos.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in Philadelphia, and Atlantic City was the closest for us to go to a lot. My brother Kenny, this was 97, 98. I was going through my first divorce, and my brother Kenny just calls me up on a random Saturday.
Right.
Hey, you want to go to Atlantic City today? Sure. Come on over. Now, at the time, I had $15 to my name. $10 for lunch. I can gamble $5. This was in the late 90s. So we go down to Atlantic City. Kenny spends $200 going through poker machines and everything trying to win. I put $2 into a poker machine and win $300. And wow. Cash out. I cash out.
Yeah.
Put it in my pocket and say, okay, let's go do something else.
I've had some good wins.
All right. And mm-hmm. my brother, he was frustrated the whole way. And my brother Ken, we get back to my house at the end of the day. And he goes, the least you can do is pay for gas.
Yeah.
Because like he lost and I won more than he lost.
No. So Brian and I have a rule. If you're up, you have to pay for drinks. If yeah. you're up, period, in a story. And yeah. if we win the jackpot, either one of us, we have to split it, period. That's if you, fun. So if he wins $1 million, I get half yeah. just by being in the same room as him.
That's fun. My favorite was Henry and I were at Windstar. And we used to go on Sundays, and we called it our BB&B day, which was blackjack, bingo, and Bloody Marys, because Windstar has really good Bloody Marys.
They do.
And
they
so
do.
We would go play bingo in the morning, and then we would go out and gamble or whatever. And so we were leaving. We were down to – we each had $20 left. And we're leaving, and I go over to a slot machine, and I put money in, and I lose it pretty fast. So I go looking for him, and he's at this slot machine, and it's just dinging. Ding, 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 ding. And so I'm like, you're winning. I start hitting him on the back. I'm like, you're winning. He won like $1,200. So he said, we walked over, we cashed it out. And he goes, I want you to do something. Because we both like blackjack, but I'm a very conservative player. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like to lose my money. Mm-hmm. I just like to play and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So we walk over and he hands me this $100 bill. And he goes, I want you to go play a hand of blackjack and bid the $100.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm only doing this because you just won $1,200. So we go over, I pick this table, brand new table. I'm the only person at it. I walk up, dealer, whatever. And so I win. So I have $200 in my hand. Well, I look over and my favorite dealer's there. He's a little ways away. His name's Hoshue. I'm sure he's not there anymore, but that was years ago, but I loved him. And I come walking up, and at the table were guys barely old enough to drink. They were drinking, but you know, you could tell they were young. And so I walk up and I was like, hey, Hoshue. And I was like, I'm just here. And I threw the chip down and he goes, oh, you want me to break it up for you? I was like, nope, just going to bet $100 on the hand. And of course, what do I get if I don't get an 11? Right. So I'm like, oh my God. So now these guys are sitting here next to me and they're like, whoa, you know, whatever. And so I look at what they do. And I was like, all right, fine, double down. And I threw another 100 on it. Right. Flip it over and I get a king. So I hit blackjack. Right. So everybody's nice. Cheering. But Henry leans down and whispers in my ear. He goes, that was really good, but don't do that shit again. So I made $400.
Nice.
Yeah, but it was fun. So
I've had big wins on the slot machine. It was 5 a.m. Brian was still asleep. He's my business partner. We go to Vegas all the time. And, you know, I put $100 in and I think I won like 40 free spins or something. I was there for like a 40-minute sit and I think I won $800 or something. Yeah. So that's probably been my biggest win. But I like to bet on the games, basketball and football, and just cause that's a long duration. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can put 100 and then now you're in for 2 hours, right? So that's my favorite. I'm not a big fan of that.
But what's the difference between going to the casinos and gambling and you and I creating a business? Think about that. I mean,
I'm puckered up for much longer. I think, I'm having a puckering day. I mean, it is ups and downs. It's exciting, you know? So I don't know what the difference is as far as, I had one of those moments, Kendra. Like you literally asked me that, I just freaked out. Like Brian Weaver did the same thing to me. Have you talked to Brian Weaver?
Well, I haven't talked to Brian in a couple of months.
He asked me what my relationship with procrastination was and discipline, and I like completely froze up. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, I don't know, Tim. I mean, it takes a village. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like in a fun sense, it's like that's the difference. It's like I can go to the casino and gamble, and it's just me. But it's like I really need everybody involved for me and us to win.
Win in the business.
In the business. And if there's a weak link or something broken, we have to fix that.
I think you were Monday. I think you were at when I did my showcase and I talked about, you know, people say when they say, you know, this is my why. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I tell people my why is I get excited like, you know, like a baby. If anybody, either of you or if somebody in this building comes up, goes, I got this business idea. What do you think?
Right.
I salivate on how do I help them. Mm-hmm. That's me. That's just my why. I want to see more small American businesses and more people taking a gamble. Yeah, but if I do this, I might not. Well, let's write down worst case scenario and figure it out. Mm-hmm. I know worst case scenario, if my business doesn't fail, I know how much I can rent for my house out for that I'm not going to lose my house. I know where I can live. I've got it down.
Right.
Why? Because I've been through this gambling situation enough times.
Right.
And that's the difference between a business and the slot machines. You're throwing $100 in the slot machines. Here, you're throwing a couple $100,000 in the slot machine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
you know you can always bet on yourself, though, Tim.
I know that. Yeah.
And always win.
You're always going to win when you bet on yourself.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Alex said to me when he was talking to me about coming to work for him. Mm-hmm. He was like, what do you have to lose? And that hit. Right. Like, I had to really think about that. I was like, what do I have to lose? You know? Because I was just, it wasn't that I didn't want to or didn't trust him. It was just that hesitation. I've been in real estate for 10 years. It's been real estate only for 10 years.
Yep.
So. Well, I was in the automotive industry from 1986 to 2004. And when I sold my car wash in 2004, I had a 10-year do not compete clause. I could not work in the auto industry for 10 years.
Wow. From a car wash? Wow. I'm so confused.
I sold a multi-million dollar car wash.
Dang, that's crazy.
It was mobile. And it wasn't the car wash that they didn't want me to create another car wash. It was I was connected. When I started that business in 2002, a company that supplies, you know, detailing supplies that I knew from Baltimore, Maryland, brought a tractor trailer worth of supplies down here, opened my garage up, and dumped them off. And I said, where's the bill? They said, for you, there is no bill.
Wow.
Because I was that connected to helping people like I help people on websites now.
Right.
And when you help enough people like that, they're willing to help back. So, I mean, I was that connected in the auto industry. And when I sold the business, the guy went, I'm only going to buy this from you if I have a do not compete because you know too many people and you can get rid of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, that's a bad investment for me to buy this as an investment when I have the guy who I just bought it from can eliminate me with another business.
10 years, man, that's a long non-compete.
That is a long non-compete. I've been sued for non-compete. I won because it was in a diversified thing. It was in recruiting, and they're like, you can't recruit doctors. So I recruited dentists.
Yeah.
And maybe they're not real doctors. I don't know. But isn't marketing more fun, though? You don't have to answer that right now, but it's so dynamic, I think. I honestly probably shouldn't have asked that. So
no, it is. I won't say it's more fun, but it's a different type of fun.
Yeah, I right? agree.
And at the end of the day, whether it's marketing and talking to people about how we can help them with their Instagram. I keep saying Instagram today.
You guys do LinkedIn, by the way.
I said that earlier too.
Definitely
I don't know why.
Not Instagram.
I'm like so stuck on Instagram for some reason, and I don't even like it.
So if any of the listeners would like a new Instagram salesperson, we have one available.
But is you know helping people with their LinkedIn, and that's what we do. Like again, it's like you were talking about. You sell yourself. People aren't. They're buying into you first before they're buying into the product. And it's the very similar with real estate, right? I mean, it's selling myself for people to use me as their agent and to refer me to people that, you know, or whatnot. So I won't say it's more fun. It's just a different fun. And so far, it's not quite as stressful.
Well, I will say that, yeah, marketing has been less stressful than cars.
Yeah.
All right.
Somebody told me not to sell cars.
Yeah, don't sell cars. Everything in the car industry is, well, you scratch my car.
Right. That was how it was in Valley. I was in Valley set for 7 years.
Yeah.
And you had to take pictures and people. I mean, one time we got accused of like stealing a watch out of the glove box. Mm-hmm. And the officer called. I was like, I don't know. I'm really good at this nonchalant of like, what am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to do with that? So, well, cool. Well, Tim, tell us how to get in touch with you. How do we work with you? How do we find you? What's your favorite restaurant to hang out at? I mean, whatever.
Restaurant we all know is Walk-On's. Apparently over there, they think I'm invested in the company as much money as I spend over there. But anyway.
Website, phone number, whatever you want to share with us.
All right. SimpleEasyWebsites.com, guys. That's the best way. Go over there and book an appointment with me.
Otherwise, you are local here in the DF and the DFW market in Frisco and area, right?
Yep, right here. Actually, I believe I'm in the same office building as you.
Yes, you are. located in Grandscape. So, all right, sir. Well, thank you so much, and we'll tune in next time. Appreciate it.
Yep. You make it hard to leave.